You are listening to Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and with me, as always, across the way, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel. What are you wearing there? Will Ospreay.
What I'm wearing is a shirt with a hole in the right shoulder.
No way. It has a hole? Did it come with a hole?
This is the one. I was going to ask if that's the one. Oh, no.
And then I bought another Will Ospreay shirt that says, I think it says something like, you can do it all or done it all. It's not lined up properly. It is literally like that.
Off-centered.
Yes.
Awesome.
So.
Pro wrestling tees. What the fuck, man?
But this is the power of social media. I want everyone who listens to this, all three of us do this shit for free because we like talking wrestling. I don't ask you for nothing. I want you, I don't know what their Instagram is. I think it's at PWTs. And go to their website, Twitter, whatever you want to do, and say, get it together. This is now three damaged shirts.
Respond to Earl's messages.
I've bought $1,000 of wrestling t-shirts in the last 6 months. Legit. Don't ask for a discount. I don't ask for special favors. We give them free publicity. I guarantee you we've sold you guys some shirts. I just want the shirts not having fucking holes in them. Or centered correctly. It looks ridiculous. The other Ospreay shirt, it's like that. It literally looks like this.
Diagonal? That's ridiculous. That's so ridiculous.
They didn't fuck up the Omega shirts. I'll give them that.
I'll tell you this. I haven't bought a shirt from them since you've been showing me all these misprints and holes and shit. I've stopped.
At this point, they got to be doing it on purpose.
They're like, oh, Earl put in another order. How can we fuck this one up?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm trying to go. I'm still giving you my business because that's where AEW sells their shirts. I bought four more last week. What's going to happen? Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. I mean, I'm still not going to buy shirts from them for a while. I'm just going to stick to buying them at shows or something. But
well, they have, like, I bought a Kenny Omega, the cleaner, his New Japan.
Oh, the Bullet Club one?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
It's a cool-looking shirt. I could wear it on stage and not look like a total fucking loser. you know, because some of those wrestling shirts, you just can't wear in public.
Yeah.
And then another Omega shirt where he's half cartoon character, half Omega, his regular face that looks cool, and another Sean Spears shirt.
Oh boy, making up for that one free shirt he got you.
Dude, it's respect. It's about supporting my friend, my new friend, Sean Spears.
Yeah, buddy.
Other than that, I'm good.
Other than that, you're good. All right. There's a lot of stuff going on in wrestling right now. Today, Monday, is the beginnings of the new World Heavyweight Championship Tournament. And they're doing it in a weird three ways. They're doing two three ways on each show. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're having so four matches total, two triple threat on Monday, two triple threat on Friday. It's very bizarre. I guess they have to because they're doing two international premium live events in a row. So Saudi Arabia is only 3 weeks after Puerto Rico. So they don't have a lot of time to do, I think, the big tournament of individual matches, even though I think they
could have still made it like
I think they would have had time. Show. Yeah, no, I think they want to build up the final two rivalry, which is already weird to me that they're even including SmackDown superstars.
Yeah, you're already throwing out the draft out the window because SmackDown, the belt is for Raw, but now SmackDown stars are competing for it. So yeah,
this is getting to be very Vince-like, just throw shit against the wall. Almost even AEW, like, we just had this draft, covered a lot of ground, 2, 3, 4 hours. Let's just get them back together. Like, I don't know, it doesn't seem very well thought out. And you know it was. That's the scary thing.
I mean, we'll see if that happens, if the final two end up on each other's show before the pay-per-view. Like, once we find out it's Seth Rollins or Finn Balor versus whoever the SmackDown, if one of those end up on SmackDown and vice versa, we'll be like, okay, this draft was useless. But if they stay on separate shows and the winner happens to be from SmackDown and he gets drafted to Raw because he's the champion, I kind of get that. I'm just pissed that LA Knight is not in the tournament.
Or Bray Wyatt. Like, what are they doing?
Bray Wyatt is still supposedly out with a health issue. We don't know what that health issue is.
I mean, he looked pretty good when he was here.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
We weren't wrestling with him. But.
If he's not feeling well, I hope you get better. But if this is just some kind of cover because they don't have anything for him, it's kind of fucking sad, you know? I don't know. We'll see. there's already been a result of some of the tournament. I thought Cody was going to win this thing because I figured this is what that's why they did the whole brand split. But Cody got beat up by a bruised and battered Brock Lesnar and lost the match. And Finn Balor qualified, which I'm happy about. And the other qualifying person was Rollins. So Rollins advances. Finn advances. I think we're going to get a Finn versus AJ because AJ will probably win on SmackDown, and we might get an AJ Styles versus Finn match again, which would make me very happy too.
It's possible. I kind of knew if Rollins won, I knew Cody would lose because I think people still want to see. I think the original thought was Rollins and Cody would compete for the title and Rollins would win after losing those three matches to Cody. But now that they're on the same brand and the finals is going to be Raw versus SmackDown, I knew that Cody was probably going to lose.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how do we get Cody being a Raw superstar? How do we get Cody back to the championships on SmackDown for WrestleMania 40? Rumble again? He wins the Rumble again this year?
Yeah, but I don't see any. I feel like by the time Mania comes around, Roman's not champion anymore.
We'll see. I mean, from the dirt sheets, the plan is Cody and Roman main eventing WrestleMania 40, which is a long ways away. That's a lot more Roman for a whole year, and then a whole lot of keeping Cody relevant so that people want to see him win.
I'm thinking SummerSlam. I'm thinking Money in the Bank.
Those are ways to get, because that's the other thing, though. Cody's on another show. We have to get him into a feud with Roman.
Money in the Bank.
Yeah, either Money in the Bank or Rumble. And yeah. Rumble's too far away, I think. And also kind of weird to repeat the same thing.
The only reason I wouldn't want Cody to win the Money in the Bank is because the beauty of Money in the Bank is at any point you could cash it in.
Yeah.
And Cody does that thing, would do that thing where it's a planned cash in.
Yeah, I'm so giving it up.
A surprise. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But before all of this, we had an amazing backlash, I think. I thought it was fantastic. The Puerto Rican crowd on fire. The loudest I've heard in years. It made me so happy. I teared up, and I don't even like Puerto Ricans. Can you believe that?
Who does?
I mean, I'm all about Latino forever, you know, LWO. I'm all about Viva la Raza, but, you know, there is an internal grudge between Cubans and Puerto Ricans, whether they want to accept it or not. But even so, I got teary-eyed. Just with the pride, the Selena Vega coming out with the flag. I know how important that flag is for the Boricuas. I don't know if I've told the story here before, but I had an ex-girlfriend made me drive 20 minutes out of the way just to go look at a flag, a Puerto Rican flag that was hanging out a building. I was like, really? That's how proud these people are. So seeing her there in the ring with the flag, really cool, really cool. It made me teary-eyed. What did you think?
I liked it. I'd give it an A.
Did you watch the whole show?
I did. 5 hours. Jesus Christ. I'm getting my $54 worth. Because I don't do the Peacock. My TV's not built to pick up the newer streaming services. So I actually pay on DirecTV the $54.
Mm.
The only crowd reaction I've ever heard that was like that was the Hogan Goldberg at the Georgia Dome. But for the whole card. Like that night, Hogan Goldberg was the only really...
The hottest item, yeah.
This was like watching a five-hour version of, and good surprises. I mean, I knew Carlito was coming out.
I didn't. That was a pleasant surprise. I knew Savio Vega because they showed him in the back, but yeah, I did not think Carlito. It didn't even dawn on me that he's Puerto Rican and would come out and.
He's probably not even Puerto Rican. He's probably like Irish. You know, why not have Carlos Colon come out?
The Colons. What were the other guys? Epico and Primo? You remember that team? They ended up making them fucking travel salesmen.
It was like, terrible. Jesus
Christ. Have Carlos Colon come out with a Bruiser Brody shirt on just to really get the party going.
Boy.
I mean, it's mind-blowing to me that guy's in the Hall of Fame and most likely a murderer. Like,
I mean, 60,000... That's true. 60,000 people less than WrestleMania, and it sounded like a bigger show.
Every move. That's the important thing to notice. It wasn't just the entrances or the finishers. It was like every slap was, fwah, fwah, like every hit. And it's because they don't get it. They don't get shows there ever. So like they're super appreciative of like, we may never see this again. And apparently that might be the case unless the Puerto Rican Tourism Board pays WWE. They're not going to go back. Unless they get paid to go back.
Well, it's just not profitable. Like, there's not a lot of wealthy people in Puerto Rico. So, like, the ticket prices probably can't be as high as they can here. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Wrong way. Sorry, I was trying to lower the volume.
So, you know, it's like hockey in Quebec. It should be, they took the team out of Quebec. It's the best hockey market in the world, but it's not profitable enough. Like, yeah. So it's the same thing with wrestling in Puerto Rico. It's iconic.
But I mean, I would think the tourism board in Puerto Rico will be down to give them $1 million to come back just based off of how well it did this time, you know?
Think of the history of wrestling in Puerto Rico, like Bruiser Brody, Abdullah the Butcher, the Cologne. Like, it's some of my first wrestling was watching, you know, the crazy stadium matches from Puerto Rico. And
yeah. But,
you know, everything's money these days.
Everything is money, but we had a great pay per view. Cody had. A tremendous match with Brock. Brock got colored the hard way. It was a planned spot, I believe, but I still think he went hard way into that turnbuckle because I rewatched the replay and he went in like this, head down, just to make sure he got that piece of metal right in between the head. But I think he might have miscalculated because it was a lot of blood, especially on the cusp of WWE banning blood on social media accounts, from what I read. I don't know if you read that.
I didn't.
Yeah, apparently you're not allowed to show pictures of yourself bleeding on social media anymore on WWE if you're a WWE superstar. But that being said, we got a lot of color from Brock, which he doesn't do very often.
Not really. I can't think of too many matches where he was openly bleeding.
Yeah, which was cool to see him tonight. I saw pictures. I haven't watched Raw, but I saw pictures of him with the crack, the stitches, and then also a black eye, like a full black eye. He looked fucked up by Cody, which is cool that Brock is willing to do that for Cody, even though I'm sure he's going to beat the fuck out of him in Night of Champions now.
Well, if he was a woman, AEW would make a t-shirt out of it.
No, buddy. And then
so that's like your top selling t-shirt right now.
Yeah, I mean, controversy sells, man. And
yeah, but that's like, not even I would wear that t-shirt in public.
Yeah,
like,
it's
there's
rough.
Very few things I will not wear in public. It was that and one of the Kamala shirts I bought. Even my black friend, he was like, dude, you can't wear that out in public. Because it was the Jungle Book, and it was like the evolution chart, and Kamala was the...
Wow.
Like, this looks like a cool t-shirt. So yeah. I bought it, and he came over to do my podcast, because he's a wrestler, Jay Washington. I don't know if you guys know him or not. Yeah. And he's like, dude... You can't. So I gave it to a homeless guy.
Yeah, dude. I mean, yeah. The Britt Baker show, I get what they were going for, but yeah, how do you explain that to a non-wrestling fan when you're in public?
I thought it was like a bootleg shirt, and then when I went to buy the other four shirts I recently bought, I'm like, oh my God, they're really selling this? Yeah. That's insane. Do they have it in large?
Yeah, Jericho fucking put it on and wore it on TV after the controversy because he said, fuck you, I'm wearing it anyway. And also, I thought it was part of the story too with Adam Cole and the whole thing and Britt Baker. But yeah, very interesting choice by AEW to do that. But going back to Cody, I have a lot of AEW news to go through as well.
Fun.
Bad Bunny, impressive. You know, as I think I said it last week, I was surprised to see that he's bigger than most of the LWO members or all of the LWO members. But he did well. He did a good match. The crowd reaction when he came out was insane. Like, I don't like his music, but even I was kind of like, all right, this is dope, you know?
That bump he took, like,
yeah,
very impressive. Like,
the power bomb through the table.
I mean, if I'm his manager, I'm like, hey, dude, here's what we'll do, Triple H. Here's what we won't do, and that's go through a table. Like, You know, it's made me like him. Like he's like Logan Paul almost. Like they back up the talk.
Yeah, yeah, I respect him now. You know, I wasn't ever really a fan. I don't like reggaeton music, but there's been little things here and there. You know, his performances in WWE. I think his performance at one of the, I think it was the Oscars or the Grammys, where he went full old school, like merengue and salsa music instead of reggaeton music. I was like, okay, I see what he's doing. And I like what Rocky said too. Rocky was here last week. He said, we need someone to convince the young people to fall in love with wrestling. And he's that guy. I agree.
Oh yeah.
But I think out of that match, I have way, like I knew he could, I saw his WrestleMania match. He was great. I think I left that match with new respect for Damian Priest.
Oh yeah, that too.
That was just like Damian Priest is a top guy now. Win or lose, I don't care that he lost to Bad Bunny. I think he's a top guy now. Yeah, WWE trusts him to carry those. Like you have to trust a guy to carry the biggest music artist in the world through a pretty lengthy street fight match.
Yeah, it was pretty long. That was a long match.
And it looked realistic. Like it wasn't like they just did a couple spots here and there and then a lot of stalling. And like it was like, it was legit.
Yeah, it was pretty legit. We had, as we said earlier, Carlito came out. Savio Vega came out. Rey Mysterio came out. The Judgment Day came out. They did a whole, you know, but I like that there was all that, you know, shenanigans, but then they all disappeared and let them finish the match. Because usually that's what I expect. I'm like, everybody's going to come out and protect Bunny. And then, you know, the match will just end in a DQ or something. Not a DQ because it's a street fight, but it'll end in some kind of shenanigans. But it went all the way to the end. Clean Canadian Destroyer, or what do they call it? Bunny Destroyer? Whatever they're calling it.
And Carlito looks good.
Like, Carlito looks great. Like, can we get him on TV more often? What's going on?
I think we're going to see him on SmackDown.
Yeah, like, what is it? He did like a Rumble, right? Did he show up at the Rumble?
He showed up at a Rumble, but he looked insane.
Yeah.
Like bigger than he was. Yeah. He looked like a bigger badass. I think he's going to show up on SmackDown.
Yeah. How does a guy get older and get bigger?
Yeah.
I think it's vegetables and vitamins.
Yeah, man. Working out, exercise, water, saying your prayers.
I work out and exercise. I don't fucking get bigger by the year.
Well, you're not following The Rock's diet. Dwayne Johnson's diet.
27 fillets of cod every day and
all natural muscle.
He makes me look poor, The Rock. I can't afford 27 fillets a day.
What did you guys think about Omos and Rollins? I feel like because the crowd was so hot, everything felt good, even if it was maybe trash with a lesser crowd, you know? Like Omos and Rollins may not have been as exciting as it was without that crowd.
That was the worst match of the night, easily.
Yeah, and it was still kind of cool because the crowd was into it, you know?
I mean, Rollins clearly carried it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I'm sure he's like, just do what I tell you. I'll make you look good.
Do you think that match helped Omos?
It didn't hurt him. I don't know if...
I mean, you know, what do you mean it didn't hurt him? Like,
he didn't bomb. There was no botches.
It doesn't kill him as a giant. He'll always be the biggest guy in the match. But, like, it didn't help him. He lost. He lost at Mania. He lost this match. He's just going to be the new Big Show.
Yeah.
But I do think they're misusing him. Like, there's no way a guy that size can't be dominant. Like,
there's no way to use him, though. If you're going to use him authentically, he's going to have to eventually become champion, and that can't happen.
I mean, not in the next, to say, 2 years, but, like, you can turn anyone, I believe, if they have a modicum of... personality, and obviously in his case, he's not going to be great wrestling, but like the look, he's got the look. You just can't buy that 7'4", 410 pounds of jacked. Like, he should be champion at some point. You know, like, it's just realistic for him to be champion at some point. Not anytime soon. So I think with good writing and a good program and like someone who sells for him in the right way, like, Lesnar didn't really sell for him. So, you know, that's what I mean. Rollins sold for him enough to be like, hey, this guy's a badass, but I'm badder right now.
I would have turned him into a character. I would have, like, taken the Glenn Jacobs and you turn him into a Kane. I think this is a good opportunity to take him off TV for a while and have a giant monster come back wearing a mask, wearing some kind of costume. I don't like this Nigerian giant nonsense where he shows up and then he just gets beat by Rollins with a few curb stomps.
Well, like he did do that epic top rope.
We don't have any old school monsters. Like we don't have any masked monsters that can come in.
Well, that's what Bray was, but they fucked it up.
That you know what? I would do something where Bray comes back and anybody that he beats becomes like some kind of new version of themselves, and this gives you an opportunity to change a character like that.
Yeah, they started doing that with like I think Daniel Bryan shaved his head and like that kind of thing, but.
But you need a promo, like you're gonna laugh because of the name I'm gonna use, but like I'm telling you what, put Kamala over. but listen to me, I'm not bringing up Kamala to talk about him, but what put him over was that first promo when he was in Jerry Jarrett's backyard, which was supposed to be Uganda, but it was like Midland, Texas, and you know you're like Jesus Christ, they're in Africa getting this guy to come over here. You need a promo like that. Obviously, everyone knows it's not going to be real, but like something like that, where he either fends off 20 dudes, you know, he's a crime fighter now, he's almost like a RoboCop where no one can beat him, or like you need to put him over in a way that's somewhat believable.
Yeah,
because he's just, and there's no other monsters. He could be the guy, other than Satnam Singh, who's in another company. You know, there's just. Maybe a Mr. Hughes, like, and I'm dating myself. That's Dr. Ken's favorite wrestler, Mr. Hughes, where he's a bodyguard or like an enforcer or like.
That was another guy. Never mind. They had that other guy that was a bodyguard for Raw Underground. Was it Daba Kato?
That was him.
Was it Omos?
Yeah, Omos used to stand. Oh, that's right. Daba Kato was.
And
let people into the street fighting thing.
Yeah, that's what like, it was.
I'm telling you, with the writers that they have. You can make Omos a superstar with the right promo, but that first promo's got to be...
He can't promo. And I think anytime you give somebody a mouthpiece like MVP, like Paul Heyman, you're automatically saying this guy can't speak. And I feel like in that case, if he can't speak, take away his mouth, put on a mask, let him be a monster.
But like, look at what... I think it was... Oh, I thought that was jumping. WCW did with Giant Gonzalez. They gave him, I think, was it Harvey Whippleman? Like, it's funny. I think you could give him a manager if it's such a dynamic looking. It couldn't be Teddy Long. You know, you need like a small white guy.
Brad Williams? You're not
How
small.
How funny would that be? I'm small next to Omos. How funny would that be if Brad Williams was Omos' new manager?
That would be amazing.
Like, Brad's too busy to do it, but like you, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that would be good.
Where they only speak... You guys ever see that show, Giant Robot?
No.
It's like a Japanese live animation thing, and the whole thing was there was a watch in the jungle. There's a payoff to this, I swear. And whoever speaks first into that watch... gets the control giant robot. So they had this little Japanese kid, Johnny Sacco. He finds the watch and he's like, hello. And this giant robot now does anything that he tells him to. Something like that, like where you could just rip off the idea, a watch, like, what's this? Hello. And then you wake up Omos and he's like, literally does anything you tell him. Omos, beat Bobby Lashley or whatever. I'm telling you, dude, that I should write this shit.
I didn't watch the end of Raw. Sorry to change the subject so quickly.
No, I'm done.
Finn Balor is out of the tournament.
What?
He just apparently they had the Raw finals tonight also, and Seth Rollins beat him.
He just took his cookie away from him.
God damn it!
They did not bring this. Like, I don't understand why. I guess they need to put this big show on for Saudi Arabia that Sami Zayn can't even compete on.
Why not?
But because he's
Syrian.
He's Syrian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they'll kill him immediately.
He's not allowed in the country.
Yeah.
Oh, WWE couldn't even swing that?
Like, Night of Champions, we will not have the tag team titles defended.
Yeah, well, they'll just take it off them for that. You know, they'll just have like...
I wouldn't be surprised if they lose it before them. But yeah, apparently the Raw finals were tonight and the SmackDown finals will be Friday. So now we have Rollins versus probably AJ.
It's going to be Rollins now that I know this.
It's going to be Rollins.
If it was still Finn.
Which I'm happy about. Rollins earned it. He's been jobbing out for the past year and a half.
Yeah, everybody sing the fucking song. I get it. I get why they're doing it. But, you know, I feel like Finn should have been the first one because he was the first Universal Champion and Rollins stole that from him.
Well, I would love Finn to take it off Roman because didn't Roman take it from him? I would like Finn to win.
No, Finn lost it by injury.
By injury,
because of Rollins.
But Roman was given the Didn't wasn't Roman given the title after that?
I don't know if it was. I don't remember now. I don't remember how that transitioned. I think Roman was
the next champion after Finn.
Probably.
I think they gave it to Kevin Owens.
Or Kevin Owens.
But, I mean, there's plenty of stuff that Finn could be doing. The fact that he's even in this tournament, he's already ahead of LA Knight, which, again, I'm furious. But, I just watched the clip. I didn't watch the end of Raw because we're on LA time, so it just started here. So I was watching the New York feed, and I just watched the clip. Finn just lost to Seth.
Boo!
Eddie's steaming right
Boo.
Now.
Boo! That's all I got to say.
I don't know why they wouldn't extend. So with the Saudi thing, it just doesn't make sense to me that they scrapped King of the Ring for... This is a perfect opportunity for King of the Ring to be for a title and have legitimate brackets. It doesn't... Knight of Champions, we could have made Roman, God forbid, wrestle a match.
Yeah.
And defend his title, and this could have gone on through June and been King of the Ring type championship.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of coulda, woulda, shoulda, but here we are. Let's give the belt to the singy guy, the singing song guy. I'm hating on Rollins specifically because it was Finn Balor. Like, Rollins stole that belt, not stole, but injured Finn and made him lose the Universal title. And now they're just, I don't know. It just doesn't feel good to me. It doesn't feel good in here. Anyway.
Are Syrians really not allowed in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah,
like, they're not allowed?
You're not allowed in the country. They'll kill you on the spot.
No, I just watched Munich again yesterday.
Isn't it great that WWE is doing business with a company like that?
Awesome.
With a country like that?
What I find even more offensive, you guys saw Munich, right? I know it's an older movie, but the guys who played the four Mossad agents were all from Australia. Like, this, don't tell me Jews run Hollywood. Like, how do you have the Mossad played by Australians?
Yeah.
Spielberg, out of control.
Out of control. Going back to the pay-per-view, I'm not going to go through every match, but I do feel the one thing, and I guess it's all because of the crowd. I feel like a lot of stars ended up coming out of this bigger. Zelina Vega, even though she lost against Rhea, huge pop at the end of the match, and I think it made her look like a more credible star. Austin Theory, you know, won the match, but I think the person that came out on top there was Jonah. Is it Jonah? Oh, no, he's back to Bronson Reed. Sorry. Bronson Reed seemed like a bigger star. Crowd was going crazy for all his spots, I felt. I believe I was a little drunk. I watched it a little late in the night, and I was at a party, but I believe the crowd was chanting El Gordito, the fat guy, at Bronson Reed. That's what it sounded like anyway. But either way, I'm happy for him. I think it made him a bigger star. And also the Bianca and Io Sky. Io lost the match, but afterward, like, they were popping hard for all her spots as well. So I think Io came out a bigger star out of this. So I think WWE should reconsider going to Puerto Rico more often, because it did help. It did help a lot to have that crowd.
But that gate probably wasn't that big, just because it's a smaller arena, and I'm guessing the ticket prices were moderately priced. So they're going to have to do a backhand deal with the government and go, hey, we need, like you said, a million more, because we're just not getting we're not getting enough of the live gate. It's just not a big venue. Like,
I wonder how much money Puerto Rico made that day. Like, is it worth
the tourism? I mean, I'm sure, like, the airport shops and...
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it's worth it to them to give WWE another million to come back.
How much liquor sales must have been around that arena? Like,
oh, yeah. Puerto Ricans probably brought their own bottles of rum, though, if I'm going to be honest.
Well, aren't they still also coming back from the big natural disasters?
The hurricanes?
I feel they don't even have the resources for people to travel there for... Like the way that they would travel to WrestleMania or travel to another state for a show.
Yeah.
Like the way people are going to travel to Philly for WrestleMania next year, I don't think people would have traveled to Puerto Rico for Backlash.
I'd rather go to Puerto Rico than Philadelphia. I've been to Philly. It's no joke. Like, to go to a phony wrestling match in Philly, I'm good.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Well, I had here the list. I wrote these notes before Monday Night Raw, and I had a list of the competitors for the tournament. We already know a few, but I'll just run through it real quick. Rollins, Balor, Priest, Miz, Nakamura, Cody, Theory, AJ, Lashley, Mysterio, Edge, and Sheamus. Does that list sound like the list of top contenders to you?
I mean,
is there anybody missing on that list that you would have liked to see in this tournament outside of obviously LA Knight or Bray Wyatt? Bray Wyatt.
I mean, it's interesting that because they're the tag champions, there's no Owens or Sami Zayn in there.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to see an LA Knight in there. I keep saying that. I feel like it feels like the right selection, I think, for the people that are at the top right now in Raw.
Yeah, and even though Miz deserves it, it doesn't, because of his booking in the last year or so, I don't feel like he should be there, but he does deserve it. I mean, he is good.
You also have to have the guys that are going to take the losses.
Yeah,
I thought it was interesting that Nakamura took the loss tonight. He took the pin instead of Damian Priest. I thought that was an interesting decision. Miz obviously took the pin. I knew that was coming. I didn't know who was going to win, but I knew Miz was taking the pin. Yeah, SmackDown. I mean, Austin Theory is probably going to lose to Lashley. He's going to take the pin from Lashley since his title's not on the line and he just won that triple threat.
Yeah, maybe Sheamus.
Sheamus is probably going to take the pin in his match.
Yeah, maybe Sheamus. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, you're going to either get Rollins versus AJ or Rollins versus Austin Theory or more likely Rollins versus Edge.
I feel like they still need to explain a couple things post-draft, post-new world. Like, they need to explain the lineage of the World Heavyweight title because I do believe that they are considering this the same lineage.
It is.
Yeah, but they haven't explained that because there's people that believe this is a new thing.
Well, I think they've mentioned that it's been held by a lot of legends and a lot of people.
Have they?
I think I saw them do a promo where where they ran down a list of the legends.
Maybe I missed that.
And on their Instagram, they also posted a video package of everybody that's won the title.
Okay, all right. I missed that. So, fine. Good job. Thank you for explaining the lineage. But they do have to explain why SmackDown superstars are competing for this right after the draft. It makes zero sense. Like, I don't even, looking at that list, I don't even know who's on SmackDown right now. I'm not, like, fully committed to the list of where they went. So, like, I didn't even know Nakamura fought tonight. I thought he was on SmackDown.
I mean, the draft was kind of a dud, to be honest. There wasn't really like, my God.
There weren't any splits. No tag teams got split. We were hoping like Street Profits maybe or something.
The only one that I think I missed, because I guess SmackDown, was Grayson Waller.
They did that like on social media.
That's why I missed it. I was like, that's a big deal. Like, that was a big deal, I think, for him to come up, because I do think he's a standout. The fact that I know who he is, he's a standout for my NXT.
Yeah.
Steiner's son didn't come up, right?
Nope, he did not. But Cameron Grimes did, and he's got a match on SmackDown against Barry Corby.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Poor Barry.
He's going to lose. But also, way to tell Cameron Grimes, you know, hey, we're just going to give you the person we don't really care about to to win your first match.
I mean, he's enough of a name, though, where it's...
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
You mean the guy who... retired Kurt Angle?
Yeah. I feel bad talking shit about Baron Corbin because he's such a nice guy.
No, I mean, it's not. You're not talking shit because out of his control. It's not like he's a bad wrestler. I think he is a good wrestler. I think they're trying to figure out who the fuck he is. And maybe Cameron Grimes thing, because Cameron Grimes had that big money thing that he did for a while.
That'd be a good team.
Yeah, maybe it comes into a... Maybe that's how they sort it out. They pair them up in a way.
Yeah. There were other call-ups. Like, I guess Apollo Crews got called up.
Enough with send him on his way. Like, let's start making some cuts. Apollo Crews again. Is he going to come with the accent? No accent? What's going on?
I hope no accent. I think he lost the accent on NXT. But, yeah, it's just weird. I don't know why he... Why did he take a spot from a younger talent that could have come up? You know what I mean?
Welcome to Hollywood.
Yeah. But we'll see. There's a lot of sorting out that needs to happen in the next couple of weeks with the draft and this tournament and Night of Champions. I hate the Saudi shows because there's always that lingering fear that something's going to happen over there.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not the only one who thinks that.
I do. Those shows. Well, like one of the first ones, either the first or the second one they did over there, there was like they didn't let them leave. They were stuck in the tarmac.
Well, you know, you're going over to a world where, you know, women aren't allowed to drive, which, exactly. You know, I'm on board with. And, you know, they're not allowed to show their faces, which, you know, some of the girls I've been with definitely should have been the case. You know, it's a weird part of the world.
Like, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm scared. Every time they do a show there, I get like a little bit scared of like, God, I hope nothing happens. I hope nothing stupid happens. Like, you know, it's negative thinking, but I just don't want anything bad to happen.
Nothing bad's going to happen. They might get held up at the airport, but it's not like they're trying to hijack an LL plane. Like, they'll be fine.
I think there's too much money involved, huh, for anything bad to like that bad to happen.
I mean...
You never know.
Never say never in that part of the world.
Yeah, what if they sneak Sammy over there, and then they're like, wait, what?
Well, the Saudi government, just for the record, has come out and said they have no problem with Sammy and Kevin Owens coming over and fighting.
They did? I didn't see that.
They did come out. Yeah, exactly. That's what I think the problem is. I think it's one person says this, and then the day that they land and touch ground, things could change whenever they want.
I mean, yeah. You know, terrorism's real over there. Like, I could see if they let Sami Zayn go over there, like,
yeah, bomb threat or
crazy
something. Crazy
fucking. Yeah. You know, anti-Syrian.
I mean, they were terrified to let the women wrestle. The women had to be covered from head to toe with, like, their heads were the only visible parts of the body.
So, I mean,
I'm surprised they even let that.
I know. It was very weird. And then they did the promo videos of all the women from Saudi Arabia saying how much it meant for young girls to see these women allowed to wrestle and compete. And it's like, okay, calm down. It's not going to be happening here anytime soon.
So.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. Moving on to some AEW news. That Dynamite that's coming up this Wednesday is...
It's a big one.
Big one. It's almost pay-per-view level. It's got Mox and Omega in a steel cage. You got Cassidy, the International Championship, with Cassidy and Daniel Garcia. There's a double Jeopardy match, which I don't really know what that is, but Phoenix and Claudio, I believe if... Whoever wins gets a shot at the titles of whoever's title it is. So if Claudio beats Phoenix, he gets a shot at the ROH tag titles. And if Phoenix wins, he gets a shot at Claudio's title, which I think that would be nice.
This sounds like some AEW booking.
Yeah, it's weird as fuck.
We don't know what title's up for stakes yet, but like, let's have a good match, boys.
Yeah. House of Black has got a match with their Trios Championship against the Best Friends and Bandido.
It's a job match, but like they are building up House of Black. Like I do like, I mean, I feel bad for, you know,
the Best Friends,
but you know they're the comedy.
Yeah,
like when they hug in the ring, everyone pops. But like they're the jobbers of tag teams, I guess.
Yeah, all great guys, but yeah, I do like this interesting twist that House of Black did. They did a promo where they established house rules for the belts, the House of Black rules. So I believe there are 20-second count outs now instead of 10. There are no rope breaks. And there's something else that I didn't really catch during that promo. But I think they got new belts, too. They look darker, like black belts with like silver instead of gold. And they have new rules for it. So I think that's cool. I think that they're building that up pretty well.
I do like their promos, you know, how they kind of come in out of the black and then they fade back in. And then the girls usually, you know, she has a tag. I do like, for AEW, it's good production.
Yeah.
Stepping in and out of a dark room. But like, it's like for them, it's like, okay, this is, someone put some thought into this promo.
Mostly probably Malachi Black put the thought in.
That's fine. I love him. Like, yeah. So like if they... I hope they do give more guys like him and girls the creative license. Hey, do what you want, man.
That's going to be the Saturday night show. It's going to be a fucking free-for-all. It's going to be hey, we're letting the inmates run the asylum. We want this to be WWE. We're going to throw all the WWE guys on here so they have their own show.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, it's not official. It's still rumors that they're splitting the roster.
Did you see the leak?
Yeah, I saw the leak with the roster worth Christ Jericho. That was trending on Twitter for a while.
Christ Jericho.
Hey, maybe it's his new character. You don't know that.
But it's basically the entire WWE roster that's now on AEW is getting their own show on Saturday night. And it's probably going to be run by Jericho and CM Punk.
I love it. Let's just let them go buck wild, man. And then you have the regular.
Then you have WCW all over again.
100%. Who cares? Like, then you have Dynamite, your Raw, basically, and where you have, like, Omega. And, you know, he's running, you know, the Elite's running, you know, Dynamite for the most part. And so, like, just give every faction their own. Friday is, you know. This is where they throw shit against the wall and hope something sticks.
Also, a little anecdote on the Saturday show. It's supposed, maybe, possibly called Collision. AEW trademarked that name, but they trademarked it wrong. You can look this up, and it says Collison. AEW Collison instead of Collision. They didn't
know WWE probably trademarked Collision like right after. 2 seconds later.
So, yeah, AEW's Collison show will be happening on Saturday nights. They officially canceled Dark and Dark Elevation on YouTube, which, thank God, because nobody was watching that anyway. I mean, they tried their very best. I'll give them props for trying, letting young independent wrestlers come in and lose to AEW talent. I mean, I guess that's a way to build people, but very few people were actually watching Dark and Dark Elevation. So those are gone. And apparently Rampage is going to take the place of Dark. So Rampage is going to keep going, but it'll be a home for younger talent that's less known and, you know, independent.
I like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's basically their NXT. Like,
yeah.
But
yeah.
On major television.
Yeah, like. Dynamite will be Raw. Collison will be SmackDown. And then we got Rampage as, like, the NXT type of deal. And then there, the rumor is also they'll be filming Collision and ROH. And then Dynamite and Rampage together, like those separately. Right. So we'll see. I'm hoping that there is some kind of structure to this. Make it make sense, Tony Khan. That's all I ask. If it's just out of nowhere now, the rosters are split and we just have to deal with it because they don't want to address the elephant in the room on national television, even though they kind of been like breaching it on that weird reality show All Access. Have you been watching that?
It's okay. I mean, it's not the worst. It's not, you know, I mean, it does, it's not, you know, it's so obvious. It's not behind the curtain, really. It's like staged behind it. But it's fine. I mean, it gives, you know, I think casual fans a better look into Britt Baker, like who wasn't terribly well known before AEW. So it gives you, it paints Omega and the Bucks in a good light. I mean, which is probably the reason for the show.
Yeah.
So it's all right. I mean, I speed through it.
I can't believe we're in a time where we're talking about AEW doing a separate show just for CM Punk to come back. I mean, that's not even going to last too long. How long do you think CM Punk's going to run on AEW before getting injured again?
But what also is the goal to just not have them in stories together or not have them in the same location? Because I assume it's going to be shot the same night as Dynamite and the whatever the shit on Friday is called. And I assume they're going to want people from all three shows at their one pay-per-view quarterly.
The pay-per-views, I don't know. But from what I just mentioned, that the rumor is that they will be filming Dynamite and Rampage and then ROH and Collision separate nights.
Oh, okay.
So they'll have, you know, ROH tapings, which is fine because CM Punk's an ROH guy. That makes sense. So that makes sense for the shows, but the pay-per-views, yeah. I mean, I guess they're going to have to start doing more pay-per-views. And
but you've got three big cards, so fairly, you know, you've got, what is it, All In coming up?
All In, Forbidden Door 2.
And the big London show, so like...
Double or Nothing.
Is that before the London show as well?
Yeah, Double or Nothing is in May, I believe.
So that's, you know, three or four, you know, big cards that you're going to need to map out storylines in with these weekly shows. So
I just think it's so dumb. This whole thing is dumb. Like, it's...
But I think they're all going to build to the London show. I mean, I think every pay-per-view from the three before is going to be like, they need to do a blowout London show. I mean, they just have to.
Well, to report for that, they reportedly have already sold 65,000 tickets without announcing a single match.
That's great.
So,
okay, so AEW is known for shit getting out. How many do you think we find out that Tony Khan bought?
At least 20.
I'm going to say at least 20,000.
At least 20.
Yeah, you know, as long as the arena is full, who cares?
Like, yeah, I don't really
care. No, I agree. But I mean that there's a big difference between having to buy 20,000, fill 20,000 seats, like papering 20,000 seats.
But as long as they go to wrestling fans, I'm okay with that. Now, if you just give them to, like,
homeless know, people?
Well, if you give them to, say, like, Jimmy Carr, and he's just on TV going like this. Yeah. You know, he's not Jimmy Carr is not, I'll just assume, I know him well enough to say he's not a wrestling fan. So if you just give him to people like that, but if you give him, I don't know what the UK pro wrestling scene is like, you know.
It's pretty big.
So I mean, as long as they eventually get their way into hardcore fans, I mean, that crowd should be, that should be the AEW's backlash, for lack of a better, you know. It's their biggest show ever.
It's their biggest show ever already. I think they're capped right now. Their max capacity at the Adrian Arsh Center was like 21,000. So 65, even if Tony bought 20, that's still the biggest show they've ever done.
Well, Wembley
is 90.
Is 80, I think.
Yeah, 90.
I heard 90, but
90?
Yeah.
So, and without one match being, so this is now the pressure's really on to have.
Yeah, now you got to make sure the show makes sense. Yeah.
So, I mean, I know Meltzer put out a poll, you know, who should Omega fight? You know,
we all know who you want him to fight.
It's an international card. Osprey's a big international star.
Yeah.
It actually makes sense.
Yeah.
And their chemistry, not just in the ring, but promos, it's like I've never seen two guys be that in sync.
Yeah, the only thing bigger that could happen as if they finally agree to work with each other, CM Punk and so like FTR and CM Punk versus the Elite. But that's if they decide to work together.
Or, you know, you gotta have something good for MJF. Like, I mean, Omega and MJF, it's a possibility. You know, you need to start building that up fairly fast. Not, I mean, you've got till August, but like, you know, I mean, Omega's going to make anyone look good.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. So you almost have a luxury of, we can put him against anybody outside of.
I think right now the plan should be Omega gets put in a padded room and you protect him for everything that he's worth for the next 3 months.
That's why I'm like,
none of these fucking 8-person ladder matches, a cage match. What the fuck are you thinking?
Like, I get the cage match from the standpoint of you got till August for him to heal, but like,
heal from what? You're what? He's
who
one,
knows what?
He's one step on a cage away from
100%
tearing an ACL, like. And,
so, yeah, I agree. I thought, boy, they better, like, give him some real fucking jobbers.
It's time to bring in the pillow fight matches at AEW. Like, you got to fucking protect this guy for 3 months. You just have 3 months for the biggest show. Don't fuck it up.
Because I don't want to see, I know we talked about it, that I just don't want to see him and Punk, because, and I know in a triple, you know, a trios match with the FTR and the Bucks, you could, you know, he's protected because he doesn't have to wrestle that much, but that's wasting Omega to me. Like, I want to see him in a singles match. Maybe even Okada. Like, who knows what? I mean,
That'll probably be Forbidden Door, though. That'll probably be that.
Or you set it up where, I mean, you could definitely do that at Forbidden Door, or maybe he's wrestling someone else and Okada. And, I mean, they have great chemistry. Like, you know, because then all the people from Japan come to London.
When's Forbidden Door?
June 24th.
Yeah, you got to take your six biggest stars and you wrap them in fucking bubble wrap for the next 3 months. You can't let them fucking imagine. Well, you know, we need to have Kenny Omega go through three tables. So
you know that Mox isn't going to take it easy on him either.
Of course not. The other one, what's the other, the Sting, Darby Allin?
Yeah.
How many tables is this guy going to go through?
That guy,
he's
man,
never making
he's
it.
He's made of elastic, dude. He never gets hurt.
He's never making it to the UK.
But, like, you know, yeah.
Goldberg MJF. That's the big one.
I mean,
Jew on Jew crime in the UK.
I mean, I was thinking today, like, okay, how do you use Goldberg? You know, because you got to have Sting on the card. Like, he's known. You know, maybe you have Goldberg and Sting team up.
against two, because you don't want them against each other, just like a 64-year-old Sting against a 54-year-old Goldberg.
I doubt Goldberg.
Even I don't want to see that.
I doubt Goldberg will want a tag match as part of his retirement plan.
But I mean, like, you got, like, he'll get the pop, and you know, but you also have to have Sting in there. You know, I think this, you got to use Jay Lethal and Jarrett as almost the humor match. Like, you can put them, like they were impressive to me against Flair.
Put the belts on them.
I don't know about that. But like,
even put the tag belts on Team Impact, please.
But like, maybe Goldberg faces off against, like, you just need him on the card. I don't think the outcome is irrelevant, you know, so, you know, maybe just as a run-in.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably not going to want to do that, but like, so that will be interesting, you know. And then, you know, MJF, I don't know if he's internationally known yet. I'm very curious to see, like, he's big in America.
Yeah.
But like, does he make the, you know, because he's never, like, Omega, Japan, Australia, like, he's wrestled everywhere. And he's wrestled like the Okadas of their region.
Yeah.
MJF is kind of like, he doesn't wrestle a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, I'm very curious to see who they put him up against.
Here's my, if I'm Tony Khan, I am following Drew McIntyre's contract deal closely.
Well, he wrestled tonight on Raw.
I know, and I would follow his contract very closely, because if that's up, I know it's coming up supposedly, and I read that he's wrapping up his time with WWE, quote unquote. To have MJF have a mystery opponent and it be Drew McIntyre, the place goes nuts.
Yeah, especially in Europe. Hell yeah.
That's... Yeah, I mean, because there's really very few surprise. There's no surprises left. I mean, Goldberg's a very poor surprise. We all know he's
good. I also think it's a better... It would be one of the better names you bring on to legitimize AEW. Just because Daniel Bryan was sort of on his way out of WWE. Everybody that they brought in was somebody that either was mid-card or was injured, came back.
Daniel Bryan was injured. Didn't he come back in AEW? Or did he come... No, he came back...
No, he came back in WWE. So there were people that were struggling. It was nobody that was like a young, fresh talent that had just been at the top. You bring in a Drew McIntyre fresh off WWE, you're bringing some attention to
that. Oh, that'd be huge.
Yeah, that'd be huge.
I mean, it's and, you know, you got to have, I'm assuming, maybe Jade against, you know, Sasha Banks.
I mean, my guess is Saraya takes the title off Jade in the UK.
Yeah, but, ooh, you know, this could be the perfect, you know, Sasha Banks debut. Like, maybe she's Maybe it's a one-off.
Yeah.
She goes to AEW, whatever.
Well, I think she goes for the main title, and you give Saraya, you have her dethrone, whatever her name is.
I think we'll see Mercedes at Forbidden Door.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, this could be this is their shot to do something good, like, to finally put their stamp and, like, hey, we are legit competition. But, like, you got to blow the roof. Every match has to be good. Well, maybe Vikingo opens it up. Like, you need that first, like, maybe that sets the bar too high almost, because his match, you know, his match is going to be insane.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, this could be good for AEW, but they got to do the right matches. And, I mean, we're talking about a card that's, like, what, 4 months, 5 months away? Like,
yeah, I mean, well, we can talk about the card that's coming up this month in a couple weeks, and there's only one match confirmed. It's kind of mind-blowing. The Double or Nothing. There's only one match.
In what?
It's the MJF versus Darby versus Jungle Boy versus Sammy Guevara. Four pillars, four-way match. That's the only match that's been confirmed.
I mean,
it's kind of weird. It's very close. It's not that far away. It's a couple weeks away, and there's nothing like drawing us into that.
Well, I think they're so concerned about London that they're not even thinking. Tony Khan's like, oh, shit, we have a pay-per-view coming up.
Yeah, and I mean, that Four Pillars Four-Way, like, it's nice for the young guys that, you know, to represent. But, I mean, I have no investment in that match. Like, I know MJF is beating all of them.
And they're doing something with Wardlow. You could tell with Arn Anderson, they're building him up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I will say that the Firm, the Hardy compound.
The Firm deletion. Listen, man.
Did you see that?
No. Oh, it happened already?
Oh, it happened.
At the Hardy compound. I mean, it was pretty funny. I like when they have
Stokely Hathaway being run over by, I think, one of the Hardy Boys'
kids. The two kids. Yeah, Maxwell.
Like in a go-kart.
And, yeah.
Like, it was pretty, he really was funny in that.
Yeah, like, so here's the thing. I'm a fan of Broken Matt Hardy and all of the deletion matches. I love them. They're over-the-top silly and super cheesy intentionally. But this was tough, dude.
This was like Mark Henry, Mae Young having the hand come out of her pussy.
Yeah.
Like, it was that ridiculous.
It was
like
pretty bad.
Kids following Stokely Hathaway. They almost run him over with a go-kart. He's like, ah!
The Rebbe, the Matt's wife, ended up doing some spots on Stokely, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had the kid do, like, the jump off the top rope, and then
he did a swanton, yeah. Like, the little kid, like 7 years old, did a swanton.
That could have gone so wrong and put AEW immediately out of business.
Yeah, but well...
It was so fun. Like, I don't know what the goal of that segment was, but it was so bad it was good.
It didn't help any of the other guys, I'll tell you that.
I mean, Bill came off looking like a monster. Well,
Bill looked good. Bill looked good, yeah.
I mean, no, I don't think anyone looked bad, but you're right. I mean, you know, there's just random tables in the jungle.
There's like, referees.
Yeah.
In the forest. There was commentary. That was the biggest one that I noticed, because the other deletions don't have commentary. But yeah, Excalibur and Taz were talking throughout this cinematic match.
Oh, I will say, Ethan Page, I'm warming up to him. Like,
oh, I like him. Yeah.
He really sold all the bumps and like the facial expressions. I mean, it. Like, after it was over, I'm like, okay, I don't know what the purpose of this was, but it was pretty funny.
There was no purpose. You know, I think it would have gone off better if they had kind of led into the fact that Matt Hardy was breaking again. Because it was just regular Matt Hardy, and then all of a sudden we're doing a deletion match. It makes sense if we were building a story where Matt Hardy is a broken Matt Hardy again, and Jeff Hardy is brother Nero, and we're leading into like they introduce, you know, Senior Benjamin, which is the old groundskeeper that tased somebody. Like, it was fun to see some of the characters, but I, as a fan of all of that, I was also just kind of like, man, this is just really hard to watch. And guess what? There is a longer version. Matt Hardy tweeted out today that there is a 21-minute extended cut that they had to trim down the one they showed on TV for time. So the full cut is 21 minutes if you want to sit through that.
I mean, they kind of wasted Hook, you know, like...
Yeah, what the fuck is Hook doing there? Like, it didn't even make sense.
He didn't really do much.
They could have put Danhausen in there as a silly, kooky character, you know what I mean?
So, I mean, it was funny. I don't know if that was the purpose.
It is. It is supposed to be funny.
Like, it didn't advance anything. I didn't feel like, oh my God, that solves a lot of questions I had. Yeah. But, and I think they're wasting Big Bill. Like, you know, you talk about, he's basically the AEW version of Omos, where it's like, we have this giant, and in Bill's case, I'm not just saying that because we're friends with him.
Right.
He's a great-looking guy. Like, he's a model. He's a giant model. And so I didn't like when they brought him in and he jobbed to Wardlow, like, instantly, one power bomb. I thought that made him look weak right out of the chute, but, like, he should be by himself with Stokely. And then, you know, Ethan Page is funny enough and a very good wrestler to be by himself. Moriarty, same thing. Like, they're wasting the firm.
Yeah, they're wasting a lot of people in AEW. That's my issue with them. I love the product as a fan of independent wrestling and just the sport overall, but like, they're wasting a lot of people. There's not a whole lot of story or anything that makes sense. Like, even this firm deletion thing, like, this could have been bigger or better if you just maybe build up that story a little bit on the way there. Like, they have been doing Ethan and Matt Hardy story, but the broken part of it, the broken aspect of it should have been bigger. I don't know. I hope AEW gets their shit together in terms of story. As an elaborate, overproduced indie show, fantastic. As a competitor for WWE, really far away, and it's just getting further away. I don't know.
Well, I think this Wednesday will be the start of, okay, we got to start shaping up, not necessarily for the London card, but like, we got to start
putting stories together and getting our act together for Forbidden Door. Like, there really hasn't been anything.
Yeah, nothing.
You know, I mean, I'm assuming Okada will be in that, and you know, the Golden Lovers, maybe. You know, there's a cool storyline there, and maybe the Bucks turn on Omega or something. You know, like, that could be fun to see for the Marks, you know. And then
they've kind of been teasing the separation of Omega from the Bucks on Being the Elite, if you're watching it. But it's all, it might also be because Matt's injured, and they're just trying to push that away. But I don't know. They need to start getting their shit together. Do you think that the crowd in Puerto Rico at Backlash is going to change anything moving forward with other crowds? Do you think other crowds will feel compelled to be more loud? Do you think that AEW saw that and said, fuck, we need to do something?
I mean, I just think it depends where you're going. Like, in Chicago, they're always going to be hot. Because they think, for AEW, well, I guess for WWE too, but, like, you know, with the anticipation, is Punk going to walk out here? Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, New York, WWE is just king of New York. It's Madison Square Garden, it's just, it's too much history. So I think it depends. And, you know, like, if they go to Miami, The Rock obviously has the lineage there. Is The Rock going to come out? You know, so there's an anticipation. I don't think London's going to go, we got to act like they did in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Unless you had a London-based wrestler or a UK, you know, a McIntyre or someone that was high up on the card. Like, so I think it really, there's very few hot wrestling cities, you know, like Montreal.
Yeah, Montreal.
Great.
As long as you put some Canadians on the card.
100%. Like, if you have, you know, I mean, Calgary is a historic wrestling, I don't think WWE is going to go to Calgary, but, like, you know, because the Bret Hart heritage, Stu Hart, you know, it'd probably be a hot crowd if they did a show where the Flames play.
Sure.
But, you know, that, I'm assuming that's a lot of travel and a lot. That's got to be an expensive show to do in Calgary because it's so far in Western Canada. So I don't think, I mean, Puerto Rico is just like, it's a historic wrestling. I mean, doesn't Cologne still do shows there? Not, he promotes them?
I think so.
Maybe. So,
yeah.
You know, it depends.
We'll see. I hope it does affect the crowds. I hope people see Puerto Rico and say, fuck, we need to step up our game. Because that is one thing that America is, we're spoiled. And I'm a victim of it myself. I'll call myself out. When I go to some of these wrestling shows, most of the time I'm not cheering. Or, like, unless it's Finn Balor doing his demon entrance at WrestleMania, I'm not really losing my shit at a wrestling show anymore. So I am partly to blame. But I hope people get more excited, because it does make a world of difference when the crowd is hot. So,
oh, 100%. But, like, you know, Goldberg, you know, I talked about the Goldberg Hogan crowd being so hot. He was from Atlanta, or he played football for the Falcons.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, Hogan was still not in his prime, but, like, still a pretty popular. It really, in Georgia's a hot, Atlanta is a very good wrestling town. So I think it depends who's wrestling and where it's at. That Goldberg Hogan match, not that hot in LA. Because neither one is an LA
guy
affiliation.
Yeah.
You do Backlash and Austin or Dallas, I guess. I don't think the crowd would have been that hot. So it's got to be the right set of circumstances for a hot crowd.
Yeah.
You can't manufacture it.
Nope, you cannot. Well, I'm excited to see where we go from here. I'm going to say that I genuinely feel like WWE is changing, this show in particular, and then also all this tournament and all these things that are happening. I do feel like there's a change happening in a positive light for WWE, and I think AEW should be concerned and trying to step up their game as well.
Because they will.
For a while there, it was AEW taking over, WWE sucked, and everybody was hot on AEW and what they're doing. But I feel like the tides are shifting back to WWE, and that's a good thing. Competition's good. We want everybody to step up their game. So I'm excited to see where we go from here. There's a lot of wrestling news every single day, almost, it seems. So,
but I think, you know, we're talking basically towards till September. There's a lot of shit happening, and it's going to cause both companies to outdo each other. We'll be very surprised if WWE doesn't have something big planned in August I mean, they strike me as the type that would do something that day. Yeah. Just to fuck with AEW. And I'm sure AEW's got, okay, what's pay-per-views in July? Let's do something pretty big.
I think WWE is doing a show in London also. They've already announced, like, at the O2 Arena, I think they're doing something.
But Wembley's, like...
Yeah, Wembley's big.
You got to give it to Tony Khan. Like, they stole that one because it's definitely a much more prestigious venue. And, I mean, O2 is great, and WWE will kill it. But I think it's beneficial. Like, both companies have to outdo each other now.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously WWE is the better production. Like we've said, you just can't go up against them in production. It's 50 years they've been doing it. AEW has been 4 years. So
I think, AEW should definitely hire a new production company for Wembley.
I mean, yeah, you got to have the explosions and everything. You know, I don't know how it works with WWE production staff. Like, when they're up, can they work for another company right away? But, like, I'm sure Tony Khan is, okay, who in WWE productions, when is their contract up? Because we can't have the pyro, you know, we can't have the exploding ring. What was that one?
Yeah, the exploding barbed wire ring from Kenny Omega.
We can't, like, it's too big. I mean, you'll hurt the company for 10 years.
Yeah.
If it's even around, if you botch London.
Yeah, you have to get into the mindset of we'd rather have someone actually die than to have that little tiny sparkle go off again.
You got to do what XPW does, just say, fuck it.
We would get worse press from the little sparkle than we would from someone actually dying.
Earl, go to 7-Eleven, get the Zippo fluid.
Speaking of that, man, Masada's going viral because of that. TMZ picked up on the fucking fireball.
I'm telling you, the video doesn't even, like, live. It was just like... Telling you, the producer's like, we got to stop it. We got to stop it. Rob Black, he'll be all right.
Well, something for you to get excited about. Tessa Blanchard just got signed to XPW.
I mean, I don't like seeing people I like get signed to them. I love XPW. You guys know I'm their biggest supporter, but, like, I know what's coming for her.
Is she joining the Trump faction?
Probably.
The mega faction.
She is canceled-ish. Because she was a bully and she said some racist comments in the locker room, which is how she ended up in XPW, I think, nobody else wants to work with her.
I mean, that's right up Rob Black's alley.
Yeah. It's like, nobody wants you? Come here. I'll make you a star. Don't worry about it.
I mean, Rob said he would come on. I said, we'll save these questions let's do for it. Him. Like, he would, too. Like, for an indie company or whatever they're... I mean, what would you say? They're a small-time indie?
Yeah, they're an indie company. It's,
it's impressive to see how he runs it. I mean, he is a one-man army. Like, he goes up to everyone, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. When he does this, you do that. Like, it's organized chaos. You wouldn't think it would be, but getting to be backstage, which is a parking lot, so it's not bragging. It's fun to see how a smaller company operates with, little to no budget. There's no pyro, thank God. And when there is, you see what happens.
It's in the match.
Yeah. They're inviting an audience member to help participate.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us this week. Please follow the show at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram, at Stores War on Twitter. You can follow me at RRBG Podcast. I just put up, I think tomorrow goes on an episode with Dan Black, wrestling fan, friend of ours. But yeah, Earl, where can they find you?
Same places, at Earl Skakel everywhere, and Inappropriate Earl after you listen to this podcast. And I might have the worst Patreon in the history of the company. I have 11 followers. But I'm telling you right now, if you go on my Patreon, it's free to look. I provide more content than 98% of the people who do it. So I don't need the money because I'm rich.
Did you start, did you put a reward tier for the dick pic yet?
I have two levels right now. Bonzo Berry level, it's very affordable. It's $5 level. You get a lot of good stuff, stand-up videos, podcast clips. And then the Daddy Man level is for the big ballers. It's $20. And you pretty much get the same shit, to be honest with you.
Way to sell it. Throw in a dick pic, and I'm sure you'll get some more people on that $20
level. That's what we're going to do, then. So it's about time I get paid for this shit. If you want to see my dick pic, you got to PayPal me at eskakel@aol.com.
Jesus.
No gay stuff, though. Like, you know, just, and you have to delete it right away. There's rules to this.
Oh, right. I'm sure they will.
These broads do OnlyFans. Why can't I do it?
That's true. Well, OnlyFans, no, never mind. They don't have like screenshot protection.
I thought they did.
I don't know. I don't have OnlyFans, but.
I don't either. I signed up for one person's OnlyFans, and then because I met them here, and like they were kind of psychopaths, so I deleted.
Delete. All right. Well, Earl.
What about John? Where can we find John?
Yeah, John, where are you at?
Comedy Store Studios and Say It Ain't Sosis on Instagram.
John just PayPal'd me $100. He's my first.
Well, I wanted it from different angles.
Yeah, he wanted a couple copies so he can send it to some people too.
It is the greatest dick pic in the history of dick pics. I'm telling you that right now.
Oh my God! All right, we'll see you next week, everyone. Thank you.
You are listening to Comedy Store Wrestling.